This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Ultimate HA7 Joint Formula from Purity Products. Ultimate HA7 features the joint-boosting benefits of hyaluronic acid. HA works like a shock absorber, helping to cushion and soothe your joints. Plus, this HA also hydrates your skin. It's powerful support for your joints, cartilage, skin, and connective tissues. So call 800-983-1154 and get a full-size bottle of HA7 for only $9. And you also get free shipping. Call now to claim your $9 trial bottle of HA7 with free shipping. 1-800-983-1154. These move fast, so call now. 1-800-983-1154. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. And here we are. It's our weekly Q&A with Layla. Once again, I'm here with Layla Mutin, who's our nutritionist in residence. We work together on a daily basis at our practice here in Manhattan. And we're withstanding the rigors of winter. Dodged a little bit of a bullet because it was a bit of a storm yesterday. Slippery going on. Did you find
Very slippery, and today a lot of it is melted.
It was the perfect condition for orthopedists.
Yes.
I was thinking, the orthopedists are online, they're ordering their new Mercedes because they know that they're going to harvest like a bunch of, you know, hip fractures.
And, right.
You know, elbow fractures and shoulder fractures. But, you know, remarkably, I didn't see anybody fall.
I didn't see anybody fall either.
But I was thinking, like, you know, there's some people maybe not in the greatest physical condition, and the sidewalks are very, like, perfect condition because it wasn't deep snow.
No.
It was just a layer of slush.
Yes.
It was like, if, for those of you who live in, say, Florida, imagine a melted Slurpee, but brown-colored on the sidewalk.
Because that's New York.
Yeah. It's right. Sort of like, you know, Café au lait-flavored slushy.
Yeah, very slippery.
And
very,
the temperature, perfect with, you know, for slips and slides, 28 degrees.
Yeah.
But, you know, the sun is shining and we're past it.
Yeah.
Anyway, before we get to questions, by the way, radioprogram@AOL.com is the destination for questions. Keep those questions coming. We have some good ones this week.
We do.
But before we get to that, I want to share with our audience and with you, Layla, our duh story of the week.
Ah.
And, you know, I put it on Facebook, and one of our kibitzers on Facebook said, story of the century. Called that the story of the century. And what is the story? Headline, eating ultra-processed foods accelerates your risk of early death, study says. They actually performed, they performed a study. And I don't know how they did that. What did they do? They had, they put some people in a cage and they fed them the standard American diet?
No, that would be very controlled, and this was probably not that.
It'd be an unethical experiment.
Totally.
Exactly.
Totally. Here, eat these Cheetos for 5 years.
It'd be like the Tuskegee syphilis study,
you
know, where they unethically withheld therapy from African-American men in Alabama. And this is like the classic unethical study. So anyway, I don't quite know how they did this. But they concluded, quote, ultra-processed foods are manufactured industrially from multiple ingredients that usually include additives used for technological and or cosmetic purposes, wrote the authors of the study published in the journal JAMA, Internal Medicine, Journal of the American Medical Association. They say, ultra-processed foods are mostly consumed in the forms of snacks, desserts, or ready-to-eat or heat meals, and their consumption, quote, has largely increased during the past several decades.
Yeah.
They say this trend may drive an increase of early deaths due to chronic illnesses, including cancer and cardiovascular disease.
Yeah.
61% of an adult's total diet comes from ultra-processed foods in the United States.
61%?
61%.
Oh, my.
Right. So, you know, they did this in France. They they looked at 44,551 French adults, 45 and older, and they provide daily dietary records. And they looked at their consumption of ultra-processed foods, which is now, you know, the French pride themselves in being culinary, you know, real gastronomes, right?
Yes,
you know,
yes.
The food is very pure, clean. However...
And mealtime is sacrosanct.
Yeah, but Western diets making inroads fast foods is happening there, so...
Which is unfortunate.
Yeah. So anyway...
Therein lies the problem.
So I contrast this with the call to action by Eat Lancet, which I wrote an article about last week.
Yes.
Where they're calling for the virtual elimination of animal protein, very, very spare portions of animal protein, but they want you to have lots and lots of, quote, plant-based foods.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, that's an opening for the industries to make processed foods out of ingredients like soy, wheat, corn, and add flavorings and emulsifiers. And then they have this Beyond Burger now, which is beyond stupid because it contains emulsifiers and these texturizers and things that...
But carrageenan and other things, possible carcinogens.
These are gastrointestinal irritants.
Yes.
And they upset the microbiome.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we're, on the one hand, we're decrying this processed foods diet, but, you know, at some level, there's a call to action to save the planet, you know, spare our ecological resources.
Yeah.
And you know, the eco czars are calling upon us to consume less animal protein and go for the plant-based. I'm not against plant-based. I consume a ton of plant-based foods.
Sure. Being an omnivore, absolutely. Yeah. We're all eating plant-based diets, but it doesn't mean we avoid meat.
Yeah.
So the ultra-processed foods, if over 60% of Americans are having this, I think a lot of the problem is that Americans especially are looking for convenience.
Yep.
They don't have time.
Right.
You know, they go through the drive-through. A lot of people are busy. They're working long hours. They're carting around their kids.
But it is also, it is about prioritization.
Yes.
It's about prioritization. Because like, this is the very same people who say, I don't have time to cook. They'll spend 2-3 hours on social media.
Yes.
Because that's
right.
more compelling.
Yeah, you know, so yeah.
And you know,
you could cook up batches of food in 2 or 3 hours for several days over. Yeah.
Or watch, you know, prolonged sports events. You know, I get a lot of cooking done during football games because, like, you know, I'll watch a couple of plays and I'll run into the kitchen and then I'll come back. And
you need a screen in the kitchen.
No, that would be that would be too distracting. I I would probably burn down the kitchen.
Chop off a finger.
Right,
oh,
exactly.
No.
It's like focus. Oh, no. So anyway, this is the duh story of the week at the very least. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but what are we doing about it? You know, call to action by Journal of the American Medical Association. Is it going to change anything? I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, look, my whole philosophy is buy whole foods ingredients, make simple meals.
Yeah.
You know, like this morning I bought some, you know, codfish and some, you know, managed to get a little, you know, into the office a little later.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to the outdoor market. I got some codfish. I got some scallops. I got some wonderful organic salad ingredients.
Yeah.
And, you know, and some organic eggs and boom, you know,
that's
but
nice.
At least it's not like in a, it's not like mystery meat or, you know, mystery, faux meat, you know, I know what I got here.
Right, right. Yeah, it's interesting to walk around the grocery store and look at the shopping carts of other people and look at them.
Yeah.
And their shopping cart matches how they look, or at least their phenotype, if they're overweight or obese or anything else. And other, you know, I've seen shopping carts full of non-food. Everything is in a box.
Yeah, absolutely.
A box of cereal,
and
boxes of cupcakes, boxes of juice drinks.
And giant, you know, 8-packs of soda, you know, and that kind of thing.
I don't know that it's helped that they've made the serving sizes what they should be for soda. You know, the 8-ounce can of Coke or ginger ale.
I call that the Virginia Slims phenomenon. It's like, okay, you want a cigarette with less tar and nicotine? You know, we'll give you one. But you'll end up smoking more and we'll make more profit off you, you know. So it's also, that's their defense against the coming wave of litigation against the soft drink industry. Because you better believe that the same people who gutted the tobacco industry. By the way, the tobacco industry is very resilient. They're doing fine. They sell their products to the third world where there are less regulations.
Yeah.
And now they're taking the tobacco or the nicotine and they're putting it into Juul pens.
Right,
know.
Right. And there are more millennials smoking, apparently, a news report I heard, than there are more young people smoking or using those products.
Great diversification strategy. I think it's R.J. Reynolds bought, like, for $31 billion, they bought a share in Juul. For the smokeless tobacco.
Yes.
So, because they know what's coming, is that it's going to be passé to smoke cigarettes, but people who want to be hooked on nicotine, they'll be vaping. Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. they want a piece of that action. Great right. diversification strategy.
Yeah.
So, anyway, let's get on to questions, because we have plenty of questions to field.
We have an email from Richard. What supplements and other suggestions would you have for my 35-year-old daughter? She has lupus with several of its complications. She has type 1 diabetes, scleroderma, kidney and eye problems.
So this is an easy question, right? I mean, it's like complicated.
And she recently had her appendix and gallbladder removed.
Oh, boy. Okay, so this is like a chronically ill person with a severe autoimmunity, as evinced by type 1 diabetes, which is an autoimmune disease, and lupus, which is an autoimmune disease.
And scleroderma.
And scleroderma, which
is... So autoimmune times three.
Right.
And its complications.
Okay. Wow. So, I mean, we do see patients like that in the office, and, it isn't easy, but, you know, they're... we'll give you a sort of a thumbnail of what we might do. We might suggest that you go on a paleo diet for the autoimmunity.
Yes.
We would suggest anti-inflammatory nutrients. Mm-hmm. Things that help women with lupus in particular are DHEA. According to a study, I never prescribed this high, but in one very highly referenced study, women with lupus received 200 milligrams of DHEA.
DHEA?
Yeah.
As opposed to DHA.
Yeah.
200 milligrams.
Which, and I personally take 25 or 50 a day as a male.
Yeah.
Imagine women might get some side effects, maybe some hirsutism or acne, possibly. Mm-hmm. But it actually
receding
really helped.
Receding of the hairline.
It really helped. It really helped the lupus.
That's wonderful.
So, if you've got a devastating condition like lupus where you can lose your kidneys, you might want to consider something, even if it has some androgenic side effects.
Yeah.
We would do this under carefully controlled situations. We have some lupus patients.
We do.
Lots and lots of omega-3.
Lots of the anti-inflammatories like curcumin, boswellia, MagiCare.
MagiCare, which is an immune modulator, and maybe low-dose naltrexone for autoimmunity.
Which is a prescription.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not something you get over the counter.
So these are among the strategies that we might, that just come off the top of my head in relationship to this. And, of course, the type 1 diabetes, a very low-carb diet to minimize the requirements for insulin.
Yes, yes. That is key. And apparently it seems that seems to be a recent discovery of, you can treat type 1 diabetics with a low-carb diet.
Even a ketogenic diet.
Because it seems commonsensical to me, the less insulin that you can self-administer, the better off you're going to be.
But you really need a lot of nutritional guidance. Don't try this on your own.
No.
So do you have some type 1 diabetics under your care?
I do.
And so what's your finding? Is they're able to reduce their insulin
They're
requirements?
Able to reduce their insulin. Mm-hmm. I had an elderly gentleman who lost 50 pounds.
Isn't that great?
Over a few months. Because he was able to reduce his insulin.
Wow.
But every other mainstream doctor or dietitian told him, no, you've got to eat your carbs.
The target was the blood sugar instead of the person.
Exactly.
They wanted good blood sugar.
They wanted good blood sugar.
So they would take more insulin.
Right,
which makes you fat.
Exactly. And because we can't live without carbs, so you have to eat your carbs. No, not that many.
And, the other problem with these many patients with lupus is they're on steroids, which makes them even more susceptible to high blood sugar.
That's true. So Richard, your daughter would have a full workup.
Yeah. And where's Richard? Do you know where that's coming from?
What
part of the country? Mm-mm. I mean, just you really need to work with a functional medicine specialist.
Yeah.
A medical nutritionist, preferably a functional medicine specialist, to sort of pick apart the different components of this. And it's going to be a very slow process. A person this sick is not going to immediately, break the bonds of dependency on medication.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Richard, thank you for your question. We wish you, your daughter, good luck.
Yeah. I mean, this question is more about the feasibility of working with such a person, because you may say, this person's so far gone that they're beyond the reach of nutritional support.
No.
And in a truly complementary way, we can minimize dependency on medication.
Yes.
Improve the well-being of the patient. Maybe not cure the patient, because some people have this, I think, unrealistic belief that, there's some magic supplements out there. Mm-hmm. Just take some green green, concentrated green, fruits and veggies or something like that, and everything's going to get better. That's not the way this works.
It's not. But, a lot of people who are this ill don't even realize that they're not on a great diet. Don't realize that some of the foods they're eating could be triggers, whether it's gluten, whether it's dairy, whether it's nightshades,
right.
Whether it's those ultra-processed foods we were talking about.
They're feeling
a few
lousy
ago.
All the time.
Oh,
it's not
they
apparent
feel terrible.
The effects
yeah.
of the
exactly.
of
exactly.
one single meal.
You know that you shouldn't feed your dog chocolate. You know that you shouldn't feed your pet certain things, right? How come, why are we the garbage containers for all the other, put the feed bag
right,
on
yeah.
and so,
so
forth?
Yeah, we know that
it
for certain species,
too.
There are foods that are not suitable.
Yeah. Yeah.
They don't do well. And,
no.
And animals are much more sensitive to these effects. They die quicker. I mean, the rate yeah. of animal cancer is astronomical.
It's ridiculous. Wow. It really is ridiculous.
Because they get what the people eat.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Do wolves, I don't know what this is, somebody who's a, biologist might tell me the answer to this, but do wolves and coyotes die of cancer in the wild? I don't
what
think so.
What a great question.
Do they come down with these horrendous
right.
growths and cancers that
exactly.
household pets develop?
Your dog comes down with kidney cancer or something, or I had, when I was an undergraduate, getting my food and nutrition degree, I had a classmate who had a cat who developed diabetes. I'm like,
a cat with
diabetes.
Okay.
Like, so you have to look at the cat food, and they're all made of grain. They're all cheap. They're all of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But even the pet food industry is starting to catch on
mm-hmm.
that meat should at least be the first ingredient and not mm-hmm. a grain or not a meat byproduct. So anyway, maybe that'll change one day. Okay. We have a question from Ray. What do you think of using raw wolfia to lower blood pressure?
Well, raw wolfia is actually an old blood pressure medication.
Yes.
It was around before.
It was used in India.
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. and it was used actually in the United States, I think, in the early part of the 20th century. And it mm-hmm. lowers blood pressure, but it's got a host of pretty nasty side effects.
It can.
So it's really in disfavor.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's an example of where someone might say, well, I don't want to take all that synthetic crap. I want
right.
to take something natural.
Mm.
Well, it turns out that this natural thing does lower blood pressure, but it's kind of poisonous.
If it's poisonous,
now,
you want to...
If I Google raw wolfia mm-hmm. in Google and mm-hmm. I hit shopping, it says, you can buy raw wolfia. Raw wolfia by professional formulas. Raw wolfia extract by Vitanica.
Mm-hmm.
It's considered an herb.
Mm.
Ayush Herbs, which is a nice brand, I use that. They actually have something called Cartitone, which contains raw wolfia.
Hmm. I'm looking at the Mayo Clinic here, Dr. Hoffman,
yeah.
and I want to back up on something I said to you erroneously earlier.
Yeah.
They talk about for diserpidine, for raw wolfia serpentina, and for reserpine, which is something that you were telling me about earlier.
Right.
So there is reserpine associated with
I think that's the
raw wolfia.
The active principle in the plant.
Yeah.
Reserpine. It's called reserpine, I think.
Reserpine. Okay.
Yeah. So okay. reserpine.
So side effects may increase the risk of breast cancer occurring later, all right, suggestions that raw wolfia alkaloids may increase the risk of breast cancer occurring later have not been proven. However, rats and mice, given 100 to 300 times the human dose, had an increased number of tumors. Now, let me ask you, why would you give 100 to 300 times anything?
Right, that's true.
Eat too many green apples, you're going to get a stomach ache. And that doesn't keep the doctor away, right?
So here's a little history. I mean,
yeah.
just courtesy of Wikipedia, let's give them credit. Reserpine was isolated in 1952, the year mm-hmm. of my birth, from the dried root of raw wolfia serpentina, which mm-hmm. is Indian snake root.
Ah.
And it had been used for centuries in India for the treatment of insanity, well as fever and snake bites. Mahatma Gandhi used it as a tranquilizer, so it's got psychoactive effects.
Huh.
It's really an herbal medicine,
mm-hmm.
and it's... what it does is it blocks the catecholamines.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So when it does that, it doesn't. It does lower the blood pressure, but it's got a lot of central nervous system effects, such as dizziness, nightmares, drowsiness, Parkinsonism, general weakness and fatigue. And then, you know, in animal studies, you know, benign and malignant tumors. Mm-hmm.
Wow. And, you know, the medication form also causes drowsiness or faintness, impotence or decreased sexual interest, nervousness, anxiety, mental depression, inability to concentrate.
But it may be used as a sedative for horses.
Oh, my.
So horse tranquilizer.
Horse tranquilizer. Okay.
it's used as a long-acting tranquilizer to subdue excitable or difficult horses.
Uh-huh.
And has been used illicitly, because it's probably illegal, for the sedation of show horses, for sale horses, and in other circumstances where a quieter horse might be desired.
That's interesting.
So when you're buying a horse, make sure that, you know, get it drug tested.
These drugs can also cause a stuffy nose, which is caused by the
autonomic nervous system.
Autonomic nervous system, right? That's really what's happening there. Okay.
It makes the parasympathetic go, you know, it quells the sympathetic and makes the parasympathetic go up.
And that's part of the stuffy nose phenomenon, if you would call it that. So what do you think then, Dr. Hoffman, of Rowulfia for blood pressure?
I'm not a fan because, again, this is a little bit of the irrational desire for some people to get something from the health food store as opposed from the drugstore. If you really have hypertension and it can't be managed with all these natural things at our disposal, you know, diet supplements that are non-reserpine-containing supplements, and, of course, exercise, and maybe stress reduction, too, you know, put that into the mix. Your treatment of sleep apnea is a component of that because that's a hidden cause sometimes of hypertension. Then, you know, you need to take a medication. And I have, you know, fortunately, you know, with deference to my naturopathic and chiropractic and RD and, you know, master's degree, CNS colleagues who are listening to this, RNs, I have a prescription pad. I mean, many of these professions also have some limited prescribing abilities, but I can prescribe a medication because I don't want my patients saying, you know, I'm doing all these great things, but your blood pressure is 160 over 100.
You need a medication. You know, you don't want to have a stroke.
Stay safe. Stay safe. Yeah. Right.
You don't want to have a stroke.
Or ultimately develop congestive heart failure, kidney failure.
Yes.
You know, you don't want that.
No, you don't want any of that.
And some of these medications, I mean, yes, medications have a pretty devastating effect in some cases. But, you know, many of these medications are relatively mild at low doses, and so I don't have a big problem with that.
Yeah.
The other thing to talk about is the...
What's it called?
Well, we can do, you know, yoga. We can talk about yoga. But
we can talk about yoga. We could talk about meditation. Mm-hmm. We could talk about the elimination of any stimulants like caffeine, all of that. If you're a smoker, stop. The nicotine isn't great for your blood pressure either, let alone all the carcinogens you're inhaling. So that's something. But, yeah, exercise is a big part of it. Changing your diet, if you embark on a lower carbohydrate diet, it has a dehydrating effect, which is very good for blood pressure. Oftentimes, your doctor will prescribe a diuretic such as hydrochlorothiazide, HCTZ, or Lasix or something.
Not my favorite.
Because it's dehydrating. But if you do it naturally with a lower carb diet, that can also help to reduce your blood pressure. But if your blood pressure still remains high.
We're talking about?
Zona Plus, the grip.
The grip device, which is sort of a device that over time can help with lowering blood pressure. It's a innovative device. Former sponsor, they're no longer a sponsor, but we want to give them a nod because that is, you know, what I said about it is true, is that it is, studies have shown that I can help to lower blood pressure in some cases.
Yeah. So, Ray, check in with your doctor, stay on top of your blood pressure, and do the right thing.
By the way, you know, Zona Plus is so successful that I've seen ads for them on cable TV.
Really?
Yeah, watching you know, CNN, Fox News, they have spots for Zona Plus.
Terrific.
So, yeah.
It has been shown to have an effect after use of like 2 or 3 months, which is terrific.
Got to use it
consistently. That's a good amount of time to get the therapeutic effect. Okay. Let's see here. We have an email from Diana. Oh, my. Diana writes, I want to lose weight, but I'm not sure what to do. I need your help.
That's a pretty simple question.
Diana, you could call our office.
So Hank, what yeah. we're going to do is let's talk a little bit about that yeah. as a general principle, because
yes.
I mean, it's in some ways a naive question mm-hmm. because that is such an essay question. Mm-hmm. But let's tackle that in part two with some basic tenets of weight reduction.
Yep.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. It's our weekly Q&A with Layla. And we'll be right back with part two.